Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we're focusing upon that statement of Paul in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, where he said, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Every preacher, every sincere Bible-believing preacher has experienced that same sentiment from time to time. When you are faithful to the Word of God and faithful to the souls of men, sometimes you do make enemies for the sake of the truth. Nobody likes that. Oh, nobody likes that. But you better thank God if you have a preacher, a pastor, who is more interested in telling you the truth than making you feel good, who is more interested in telling you the truth than in making himself popular. We live in an age when there are myriads of pastors who seem to be more interested in becoming popular and being appealing and attracting the largest number of people possible. And in order to do that, they have been willing to shave the truth, shelve the truth, do away with the truth, shield the truth, hide the truth. And consequently, many people go to church for months and years and perhaps never hear anything that disturbs them in the slightest. I can tell you, dear friends, that if that's the case in your church, you are not in a faithful church. If you go to church week after month, week after week, and month after month, and nothing ever troubles you, nothing ever convicts you, nothing ever disturbs you, nothing ever causes you to be uncomfortable, then you are not in a faithful Bible-believing church. You are in a church where a person is more concerned about making himself popular than he is in telling the truth. But a faithful man of God is going to experience exactly what Paul experienced. Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Enemies for the sake of the truth. Nobody wants an enemy, but if you make enemies for the sake of the truth, then you've made enemies for the right reason. Too many times we make enemies for the wrong reason. We make enemies because of our own failures, our own insensitivity, our own selfishness, our own sin. We create antagonism from others for all the wrong reasons, and when we do that, shame on us. But when we make an enemy for the cause of the truth, shame on them for rejecting the truth. And that's what Paul is saying here now. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? What he's hoping them to hear them say is, no, you haven't become our enemy. As much as the truth hurts, we appreciate it. We love you for being willing to tell us the truth. And I'm sure in the case of most of them, that's exactly what their response was, because there's every indication that Paul's epistle to the Galatians had its desired effect and recovered them to purity in their understanding of the gospel. But there may have been some of them who did not receive Paul's correction. They resented it. They took offense at it. And may have marched off and started another church somewhere. In that day, there weren't a lot of churches to choose from. You couldn't march down the street to another church like you can this in our day and time, and like so many people do. Playing churches like musical chairs. Pet peeve for pastors, and it would be easy for me to get off on that one, but we see so much of it. People who leave this church and go to another one, stay for a year or two or three and leave that church and go to another one, stay for a year or two or three and leave that church and go to another one. And that's what they do all of their lives. Usually after several cycles of that, then they stop going to church altogether. Some will continue to stay in church and continue to hop churches and shop churches, but what a lot of people will do is stop going to church altogether or stop going to church regularly and just drop in on a church now and then, but never really get involved or committed or regular in church at all and live the rest of their lives that way. How many times do I pick up the paper and look over the obituaries, which I have trained myself to do? I don't really enjoy reading obituaries, but I found that I'd better do it, or else I'm going to miss something that I need to be aware of, and that's happened to me more times than I would care to think. And so I kind of force myself to read through them, read that name carefully, see does it name register, at least scan through the obituary to see if there are any relatives and names that I need to be aware of. There might be some of my church members there as a relative of this person that I'm not aware of because of a difference in the name and so forth. And how many times when I scan through the obituaries, I get to the place of the funeral and find that the funeral may not even list who's conducting it because at the time the obituary goes in the paper, they don't know who's going to conduct it. Sometimes even the very ones who made some statement at the beginning of the obituary that indicated that they were of the Christian faith. They usually use some denominational term, like so-and-so was of the Baptist faith or was of the Methodist faith or something like that. Yeah, when you see that phrase, in most cases, what that means is they didn't have a church. They dropped out of church. When a person belonged to a church, then that is listed. They were a member of such and such a church. But when they were of the Baptist faith, of the Presbyterian faith, but no particular church is mentioned, then chances are they are dropouts. They're just like I'm talking about. Took offense at something the preacher said, and off they marched to another church. Took offense at something the preacher said there, and off they marched to another church. Took offense at something the preacher said there, and pretty soon they quit going to church altogether. Oh, they still claim their Christian faith. They were of the Baptist faith. I want to tell you something, dear folks. The Baptist faith isn't going to get you into heaven. And I say that as a Baptist preacher. The Baptist faith won't get you into heaven anymore than the Presbyterian faith or the Methodist faith will get you into heaven. Only Jesus Christ will get you into heaven. And people who drop out of church, many times they don't have true saving faith in Christ. They have mama's religion. They have grandpa's religion. They have their wife's religion. They have their relative's religion, but they don't have Christ. And they become very easily offended by the truth. Be careful. When you get irritated with a preacher or with a church, you need to ask God to show you, is the problem with me? We just automatically assume it's them. Always is, isn't it? Something wrong with them. How many times I've talked to somebody and said, Where are you? They claim to be a Christian in the conversation, so I say, and where do you go to church? Well, I used to go to such and such, but... And then they tell me something that the preacher said, something that somebody said that highly offended them, and so they just... That was a perfectly justifiable reason for them to just stop going to that church, and they just never bothered to get back in church at all. Claim to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, but not in church anywhere. Oh, you say, Pastor Barkman, are you saying that you can't go to heaven if you don't go to church? Are you saying that you can't go to heaven if you're not a member of a church? No, I'm saying if you have been genuinely regenerated by the Spirit of God, you are going to have a desire to be in church. Church attendance, church membership certainly will not save you. But a lack of church attendance and a lack of church membership is certainly a very troubling sign, though it is not usually thought to be by most people in our day. But biblically speaking, that ought to be a very troubling sign. What is wrong? Easy enough to have a profession of faith, but what is wrong with my profession of faith that I don't have a desire to be with the people of God? I don't have such a love for the people of God that I can't stay away from them. I don't have such a love for the Word of God that I can't stay away from hearing it proclaimed. I have such a love for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the advancement of Christ's kingdom throughout the world that I can't stay away from participation in the church. I must be a part of the church. I must contribute my energies and efforts to the upbuilding of the church. I must be involved in the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. I can't drop out. That ought to be your attitude, and I'm confident will be if you have been genuinely born again, and when you are so easily offended by this or that, you need to examine your heart or ask God to examine your heart to see what the problem is. The problem very well may be that you have responded to truth, or against truth, I guess I should say. You have responded against truth in the way that a lost person responds against truth. Remember, those who reject truth are rejecting the God who gave the truth. It's not just the church. It's not just the preacher. It is the God who gave the truth. Now, I'm not saying the churches never do anything that is wrong. Of course they do. I'm not saying that preachers don't do anything that's wrong. Of course they do. But even when they do, unless it is something that is a serious departure from the Word of God, marks it out as apostasy, that's no reason to abandon a church. Why do we have such sensitive feelings? Wear our feelings on our sleeve, as the saying goes, that some little thing is going to so offend us that we just can't go back. What in the world does that say about our commitment to Christ and to truth and to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the people of God? That is not a reflection of what the Bible describes as the nature and the disposition of those who are truly God's children. Something's wrong. This appeal by Paul in Galatians 4:16 is a very heart-searching appeal and a very important one. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? If Paul has become their enemy because he told them the truth, that says more about them than it says about Paul. That doesn't mean that there was anything wrong with Paul, but that means there was something seriously wrong with the Galatians. Don't you see that? That's pretty obvious when you look at it in Galatians 4:16. The question is, how obvious is it when the same thing or something similar happens in your life? Isn't it easy to see things clearly from afar and not understand things at all close up? May God help us. Like Robert Burns said, may God the gift to give us to see ourselves as others see us. May God the gift to give us to see ourselves as God sees us. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.